Wieder zurück zu der Bibel, hin zu dem Licht in dem Wort. und Schwestern,
dear brothers and sisters,
wir begrüßen alle,
we welcome everyone most warmly here from Zurich,
alle, die ihr jetzt
all of you who are now connected,
sei es über Video,
whether by video
or
telephone
oder wie auch immer,
or whatever.
Wir haben die Möglichkeit,
we have the opportunity to hear God's word. And for that, we are deeply grateful. We thank the Lord that we still have time and have servants who put the word on the lampstand and proclaim the word to us fresh from the throne. Yes, the Lord, in His infinite grace, has taught us from His word. He has sent us His servant and prophet, as promised in Malachi. And we have experienced such great grace that it was given to us to accept this message without any ifs and buts. Because it is the revealed word, and we are glad and grateful that the Lord has opened our hearts to this revealed word. We also pray that our beloved brother Frank is strengthened, blessed in body, soul, and spirit, so that the word we hear today comes to us fresh from the throne again. Before we pray, I would like to read a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Yes, hear, Israel. And the Lord says the same to us. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are so glad and thankful that we have the revealed word. No ifs, no buts, but the word alone. The grace of our Lord is so great. We can only thank Him and praise and extol Him for His goodness, for His faithfulness, and for His helping and carrying us through every day anew. Let us pray together. Faithful Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your goodness, yes, for all that you have given us to this day. You have commissioned your servant to give out the food, and we have received all the food in a proper order and have been fed, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we are now in a time of preparation, that you will make us ready, Lord, for the glorious day of your return. Let us follow you in everything, becoming more and more like you, so that when you come again, we may go out to meet you, all clothed in white, just as you promised in your word. Bless us all who hear your word today. Lord, let the seed you sow spring up, and may everything serve to prepare us. Yes, we praise and glorify you, and we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the thanks that we still have the opportunity to hear your word. Bless worldwide. Bless all who are connected, and we thank you for it in your glorious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless us all.
Auch ich möchte alle,
I too would like to send my warmest greetings to all around the world, to wish everyone God's blessings from the bottom of my heart. It is just so wonderful that we are not only reaching Switzerland, but from here we are reaching the whole world. Everyone can hear in their own languages what is being proclaimed here today. We are grateful to the Lord God from the bottom of our hearts that he has called us directly to proclaim his precious and holy word. And we just look back on the many years in which the pure, true, precious word of God could be proclaimed. And now all can listen through these broadcasts. Nevertheless, I too would like to greet everyone from Switzerland and wish everyone God's blessing from the bottom of my heart, combined with a deep desire that the observation of the word will fall deeply into our hearts, that it will not just be superficial, but really that God's holy word can go to our hearts. We will not dwell on what is happening on earth. We see in everything that it is the end times, that Bible prophecy is being confirmed in the peoples and nations, and we may lift up our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near. But the proclamation is simply to acquaint the people of God with the plan of God and to give all the opportunity to make their decision for the Lord our God.
treffen. Brother Scherer,
Brother Scherer
ja ein ganz
read a very special word that we should love God, our Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. And we will read some scriptures on this. And then we will subject ourselves to self-examination, how it stands with each individual. And I ask now that Brother Borg read aloud, please. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. To the Lord our God be the glory. I have deliberately asked to read the two verses from the word of introduction. At that time, the word was addressed to Israel. Today, the word is addressed to us, because this is what God promised through Abraham: in thee all nations of the earth shall be blessed. You shall love the Lord thy God. Here is the first question. Has the Lord God become your God? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord God? For it is not only said God, but thy God, thy Lord, that we should love God, our Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And for that, after all, a personal connection must have been established. And we will read on and see what God has done for us and with us by grace. We read verse 5 from Deuteronomy 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Yes, we thank God for the repetition. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Oh, that goes so deep. With all thine heart, with all thine soul, with all thy might. May it happen that we give God, our Lord, the first place, and that we may have the personal connection and fellowship with Him, that we speak not only of God, but of our God, not only of the Lord, but of our Lord, and of what He has done for us by his grace. In the Old Testament, we have the promises. In the New Testament, we have the fulfillment. But let's hear what was said in the New Testament about this scripture. Please, we read from Mark 12, verse 29 and 30. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Also this we want to emphasize right away. The Lord our God is one Lord. There are not two and not three or more, but only one God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of the whole universe. And we thank God for revealing Himself as Lord, for coming out of eternity into time. Please, we read now verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. Here we have heard the fourth word as a term, with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And here the Lord adds the word with all thy mind. May the Lord God grant us grace that these four divine qualities may be found in us, that we may truly love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. This must become so, for this is how God has loved us. He has loved us out. He has thought of us. He has done everything for us. And we may also love Him with our thinking from the heart. Yes, think of all that He has done for us. Forget not the great things God has done for you. May these four divine attributes come true with us, that we may love our God who has loved us with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. God grant it to me. God grant it to all brothers and all sisters, so that we can and will be the blessed of the Lord. We read on. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So, the message of salvation that we proclaim is hidden from those who are lost. They have no understanding, no access to God's plan of salvation. And therefore, we who have found grace with God, we may be thankful that God has opened our understanding for his plan of salvation with us, and that we have accepted it for ourselves personally. Let us read the next verse. We read verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It hurts that God has given all those who do not believe him, who do not accept his message of salvation, that he has given them a darkening, that they cannot see the bright light of the gospel. After all, the Lord God first said, let there be light at the beginning of the natural creation. Let there be light. It is exactly the same with us at the beginning of the new divine creation. Let there be light. The light has dawned on us in the darkness. With believers, the message of salvation shines like a bright light in the darkness. With unbelievers, everything remains darkened. Their understanding is not open to it. They do not receive. They do not accept what God has given us by his grace. Therefore, we may thank God all the more from the bottom of our hearts that we may believe as the scripture says, and that the bright light of the message of salvation which God has given us in Christ has dawned on us, and that we could receive him as our Redeemer. And so the word came true in the believers from the beginning. He that follows me, saith the Lord, will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. May all who listen today have the light of life. May all give thanks to God and love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. We read on. We read from Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. What a mighty word! I will write my word in their heart, in their mind, in order for the divine mind, the divine thinking, to take place at all. The Lord must give a renewal of our heart, and He has promised the new covenant and has also given it. And He said, I will make a new covenant with you. I will write my words in your hearts and put them into your minds, so that they are in our minds and in our hearts, that both are in exact agreement, that we are thinking divinely, and that we can really put all things into place as God intended. So, not just writing on tablets, not just writing on paper, but writing in the new heart, in the new mind, and thus establishing the connection and fellowship with God. God has taken care of everything. To Him be the glory. Please, we read from Luke 24, verse 44 and 45. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Thanks be to the Lord. In this text, we are already at the divine plan of salvation. Everything has been foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. Everything, the birth of the Redeemer, the accomplished redemption, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, everything has been written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets.
geschrieben worden. Darum ging
that was what it was all about. God was concerned with the plan of salvation with his people. And now the moment came when the disciples' understanding of the scriptures was opened, where they found fulfillment of what God had foretold through Moses, through the prophets, and in the Psalms. So that promises and what happens through them correspond exactly. And that is why our Lord could say, did not all things have to come to pass? It had to. And what has not yet come to pass will yet come to pass. At that time, it was about the redemption that had been accomplished, and especially about the resurrection of our Lord. And we live in these days in which we think of what happened for us. We think of the redemption that was accomplished. We think of the resurrection of our beloved Lord. And we think of his ascension. We think of all that has happened to him as foretold in the Old Testament. And now we read on. We read from Luke 24, verse 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is so powerful. There were always witnesses at the birth of our Lord. Simon could take the child Jesus into his arms and say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of God. And the disciples went through it all, his ministry, everything that happened in that time, right up to the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, everything the disciples went through and were able to stand as witnesses, eyewitnesses afterwards, and write down what really happened. But how tremendous is this story or this event that our beloved Lord, who beforehand spent 40 days with his disciples and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, he did not immediately go to heaven. He rose from the dead and appeared to his own, yes, even to 500 brothers at once, brothers and sisters. And then the moment came when it had to come true that our Lord would return to glory. Open you heavens and open your gates. Let the Lord of hosts come in. Luke 24. And our Lord took his disciples as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, he was lifted up before their eyes. Beloved brothers and sisters, all has been witnessed. We have in the Bible not made up stories, but divine truths concerning God and the plan of redemption. Everything is written. Everything happened as it was foretold. And it happened for our sake. Our Lord did not fold his hands when he went to heaven. He visibly raised his hands and blessed, and he still blesses today. Brothers and sisters, let yourselves be blessed with a blessing of Almighty God that our Lord has given you. And thank him for accomplishing the redemption and then being taken up to heaven. And we thank him as the redeemed that when he comes again, we shall be taken up with him into heaven. He came to us so that we can come to him. Let us read on. We read from Acts 1, verse 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. Before that, he has given the promise in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Brothers and sisters, at the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be changed. This mortal body will suddenly be there in immortality. It will be there suddenly. You can't explain that, but it can be believed from the heart. And we are simply grateful that we can believe that God does not have to make any effort at all, that His Word is already in itself an all-powerful Word. And when He then comes with a shout, and the dead in Christ are already resurrected in incorruption, and we are changed in a twinkling of an eye, and enter into glory with Him. Just wonderful. This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. What a grace that we live in this time, and we may testify to this without being arrogant, that we have now recognized that we live at the end of the time of grace, that the signs of the times point to it, and that the Lord Himself has said, when ye see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. We see everything and hear everything that is happening on the whole earth and also with Israel and everywhere, and recognize from this that the return of the Lord, that His promised return is near at hand. And here we may say, all who find grace with God, come back to the word of introduction, that we love God, our Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and that we can classify everything that is happening now biblically, thinking biblically. That is what matters now, that all the children of God think biblically, and the love of God joins us so intimately with the Word of God that we cannot help but believe biblically, think biblically, and love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. And then the word is added, namely faith. All these attributes, before we can love God, we must have become believers in Him. Before these four attributes can be manifested in us, we must have had a personal experience of salvation with God. Not only know Him from hearsay, but from a personal experience of conversion, of the new birth, of the renewal, of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire, as already John the Baptist announced. And brothers and sisters, the most important is that our thinking is now laid into the Scriptures. What do you think about what is written in the prophet Malachi in the last two verses? What do you think about when the Lord God said, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord? He will turn the heart of the children to the fathers. And let me say it here right away. In Luke 1, we are told that this promise was fulfilled through the ministry of John the Baptist, who led the Old Testament fathers to the New Covenant, the children of the New Covenant, and ushered in the New Covenant. In the same way, and I ask now from my heart, what do you think, dear brothers, dear sisters, about the second part of the promise? He will turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. What do you think about that? I do not think about it, but I believe it, because through the ministry of Brother Branham, who is or has been a promised prophet, as Elijah had announced, that he had to forerun the second coming of Christ to bring the last message to the people of God, which is in accordance with the first message. What do you think about the ministry of Brother Branham? I could ask, what do you think about the ministry of John the Baptist? Then those who know the Scriptures would say, but he was the promised prophet who was to come before the great day of the Lord would come. Others would say, he was Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger before me. Who thinks correctly? Who thinks exactly as the Holy Scriptures were fulfilled before our eyes, then and now? That our thinking corresponds exactly with God, with God's Word, with a plan of salvation. That is what matters today. And only where that is the case, we can give thanks to God with all our heart, with all our soul, and yes, with all our strength, and with all our thinking. I am not one of those who judge others. But at the first coming of Christ, the scribes did not recognize the biblical fulfillment. They thought past God, talked past God, led the people past God. And brothers and sisters, when I think about it, I brought the Jerusalem Talmud with me today, exactly 700 pages. And then on each page, there's one verse. And on the right and on the left, and at the top and at the bottom, there is written what the scribes said, what the gentlemen said, who think they know something. Rabbi so-and-so, Rabbi so-and-so said this, the other said this, he said that. And one single verse, and he said this, he said that, and he said, my goodness, we need nothing but the Bible for divine guidance. And I ask, how many have written their catechism? How many have written their creeds? How many have thought past God, written past God, preached past God to this very day? My beloved brothers and sisters, let me also say this with humility. To a ministry that is to be carried out before God and for God belongs, of course, a divine calling. All churches can call their people and can inform them and teach them and so on. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, then it's about God, not about anyone, but about God who builds his church, about Jesus Christ who redeemed us, who shed his blood for us, who made the new covenant with us, who gave us promises. Please, from today on, do not think past God. Do not talk past God. Come back to the Word and also to the promise for this time. We all know that 2,000 years have passed since the days of John the Baptist, and the day of the Lord has not yet come. So it is all about the promise that is proclaimed now, before the terrible day of the Lord dawns, namely before the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the people of God, the whole counsel of God, that our thinking, our preaching, our writing, whatever we do, that it is biblical, pure biblical, only then will God confirm it. Let us summarize what it is about now. We have arrived before the promised return of Christ, as we have read it, the same Jesus will return in the same manner as he went to heaven. We can read exactly in 1 Thessalonians 4 what will happen, how it will happen when our Lord returns. We can read in 1 Corinthians 15, especially from verse 51, exactly what will happen when our Lord returns. But now the point is that a bride church is called out, prepared for the bridegroom, that we do not say what the Talmud says or a catechism says, but that we say what God has said in his word and think as God has caused his thoughts to be written in his word. This is the most important period of time in the history of mankind. And indeed, the Lord gave Brother Branham the special calling that he should bring a message that would forerun the second coming of Christ. And that since the departure of the man of God in December 65, I have carried this divine message of salvation to all the world, and that all true believers in all nations and tongues have heard of what God has promised for this time, what God has done in our time, and what he will yet do in the consummation. The Lord himself will bring his work of redemption to completion, as he brought his work of creation to completion. Please read the word of introduction again and ask God that all that is written in it, and also in the next word of our Lord, that we may love him, our God and Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. May all things be brought into harmony with God and with God's word, and may all who now hear the broadcast in all the languages, in all nations, may all come to line up with God and come out of all confusion and error and believe alone, as the scripture says, for the Lord himself has left us the word, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his body will flow rivers of living water. Let us believe in our Lord and Savior, as the scripture says, and rivers of blessing will flow down by a mighty working of the Spirit. Be blessed with the blessings of Almighty God in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Carried on eagle's wings over the roaring sea of time, born on eagle's wings into eternity. Over mountains and valleys, ever higher to heavenly heights, the wings are strong that carry me, the wings on which I stand. And under the same wings, how wonderfully I rest. There is my refuge, my firm and secure house. The enemy may circle above me and aim and peer as he will. The wings are strong that cover me, and under the wings it is still. Yes, sheltered under the wings, and kept on the wings, that gives a blessed rest, that gives a happy journey, that gives a sure knowledge in a changing pilgrimage. For under the wings is peace, and under the wings is strength.